My favorite thing to say is, it's time. Time for the Food Mensch, Arthur Schwartz. Time.
Good morning.
On Robin Hood Radio. Hey, Food Mensch, Arthur Schwartz. Hi, Arthur. How are you?
I'm okay. Or as my father would say, I'll live.
I love that one.
I do, too. Covers a lot of territory. Anyway, sitting on a park bench yesterday, okay. My neighbor walked by burdened by boxes of white currants that she bought at the farmer's market on the corner here. I haven't been to the farmer's market lately at all because, well, whatever reason. And it reminded me that this is the perfect moment for something called summer pudding. It's very hard to get currants, white, black, red, whatever color you want to call them, but you can make a summer pudding, even though currants are highly prized in a summer pudding. You can make a summer pudding without them. So in this case, the word pudding is the British meaning of pudding, which is to say dessert, and also to say, Jill, beware, because this is your dreaded soggy bread extravaganza. What do I mean? Summer pudding is, you know, it can be totally uncooked, making it truly a summer pudding. But it's better if you heat it a little bit, the berries. So what you need, I've made this so many times, and I looked all over my files this morning to see if I had an actual recipe, and I did not. But I've done it for so long, I don't even think about it. Whatever berries you have, now I recently bought some sensational local berries, $10 a quart. Sounds like a lot, but a quart of berries is a lot. But the thing is, they were strawberries. Now, if you read the English books, this is British recipe, they'll tell you not to include strawberries. But I have always included strawberries because that's what we get. It's harder to find raspberries and blackberries and gooseberries. And actually, gooseberries are not a red berry, but all the red berries are very, very delicate. In fact, I noticed this week that the raspberries that I buy and have bought at the supermarket lately, which have been very good, if you inspect them and make sure that they're fresh and not been sitting there for a while. I'll tell you the secret here is they've started to put black absorbent pads at the bottom of the berry boxes, so you can't tell if the berries have been bleeding. There used to be white pads on the bottom, and of course then you could see all the berry juice come out. So anyway, you get your good berries, as many as you can gather, but you can, you know, to make a decent-sized summer pudding, you need a quart of berries, of assorted berries. You know what? You can even use frozen berries. And if you do use strawberries, don't use those big, hard ones that you buy in the supermarket. Right now, there should be local berries around. Wherever my voice is heard, pretty much, I think you can find local berries. And they're delicate. So you put them in a bowl with sugar. Now, in theory, sugar will leach out juices. Not in theory, in actual fact, the sugar leaches out juices, and you need as much juice for a summer pudding as you can get from these berries. If you do use strawberries, cut them into quarters or small bits, and, you know, you're going to have to sugar these to taste. I would say a quart of berries is probably going to take a quarter of a cup of granulated white sugar. Maybe you can get away with a little less. If you like a tart pudding, then do less. If you like a sweet pudding, do more. So that's the base of a summer pudding, berries. When the berries have soaked, now I could put them up in the morning and make the summer pudding in the afternoon and serve it the next day, but a lot of old recipes tell you to let the berries sit for a day. I don't think it's necessary. A few hours is enough. They sit and they accumulate syrup. Put them in a saucepan and just bring them to the simmer. You're going to barely cook the fruit and then let it cool down. Meantime, you've got to select some bread. Because what this is layers of bread and berries, sweetened berries. And when you pack it into a pan, now, in the old days, they would make these in a bowl, which is way more difficult because you've got to cut all this bread to fit in a bowl, as opposed to what I do, which is either a loaf pan or I have an 8-inch square a ceramic cake pan that I like to use a lot. And that would hold, I would say, 8 slices of bread. You need, I would say, a nice old-fashioned white bread. Could be one of those like Pepperidge Farm or Arnold. They're going to be slightly sweetened, but this is dessert after all. I've never tried making this with a whole grain bread. I do love eating whole grain bread, but in this case, it's dessert. And, you know, it's going to be high in carbs and high in sugar. So you can use a good white bread. Cut the white bread so it fits the bottom of the pan in a layer, whatever pan it is, and then take some of the juices from the berries and spoon it over the bread to make sure that the bread is going to get moistened. Believe me, it's going to get moistened anyway, but make sure that, you know, you spread some juice around on the bottom to get the bread going, and then put, in my square pan, I would put about half the berries into the pan, spread them out in an even layer, top that off with another layer of bread and the rest of the juices, and then put a piece of parchment paper, plastic, whatever you want, on top, and weight it down. I would just put a plate and maybe a can of something to weight it down, and put that in the refrigerator overnight. You're going to be amazed how the bread has transformed, and it's not going to be like wet bread, Jill. I know you hate wet bread, but if I gave this to
you're very kind.
No, really, if I served this to you with a heap of whipped cream on top or a scoop of vanilla ice cream or creme anglaise with custard sauce, which I'm not going to give you because it requires too much cooking. But anyway, you would probably not realize that was bread. It has a pudding texture. So that is summer pudding. Now, you can do summer pudding in the winter because the fact is frozen berries transform into a soupy sweet mess very easily and readily. And it is a refreshing thing to have in the winter. But, you know, right now it's because who wants to cook? I certainly don't. So speaking of which, this is not going to be my final word on chicken pot pie. However, Bob and I did go back to KFC, we have not been in a long time, to have what we thought now, after eating all these frozen and otherwise pre-prepared pot pies, that we were going to, you know, it all started with my saying that the KFC had a very good pot pie. And then we tasted, to catch everybody up, I tasted all these different frozen products and one fresh, so-called fresh, although it was spoiled, the Trader Joe one, which, by the way, even if it wasn't spoiled, wouldn't have been very good. Anyway, we went back to KFC, and sure enough, I stand by my initial judgment that this is the best pot pie around. And the pastry was particularly good. It is it's not puff pastry, but it's a puffy, flaky pastry, and gets nice and crisp around the edges. It depends on how you like to eat your pot pie. Some people like to take the crisp edge and push it into the mixture inside, and some people like to eat it from the middle. I don't know. I do both. Anyway, had ample chicken, some carrot, some peas, a nice flavorful base sauce. It for $6, you couldn't beat it. But that's what it cost at my KFC, $6. So, as I said, that's not my final. Oh, by the way, of all the other pies that we tasted, the Boston Market frozen pie was certainly the best, in case you do want to buy a frozen pie. I've tried every other one except the Stouffer's that you mentioned, Jill, and I can't seem to find it.
Did the Boston Market, was that the one that took a while to cook, or?
They all, you know what? They all take a while
okay.
to cook because I don't use the microwave.
Right. No, nor
I'm always, you know, I mean, I probably should have tried at least one of these pies using the microwave reheating directions. But the thing is, I always find the microwave does not produce a pastry that's worth eating. It gets soggy, it gets rubbery. You know, maybe they're putting something in the crust so that it doesn't do that. But one of these days, I'll stick a You're right. I'm sort of over it, having eaten so many pot pies. The
and
only
somebody,
one that I really am still wanting. Pardon me?
You have a listener who is very specific about a type of pot pie she wants.
No, I read the email. I don't have her name in front of
right.
me. But I thank you. She's the one who told me about this, and she continued to tell me about the pie in Lancaster County. Now, is it Crooks? Now I'm forgetting everything. But anyway, she was very specific to tell me that if I do go to Lancaster, I should be sure to buy it at the bakery itself that makes these pot pies, not in other places that also sell it, because besides that I'll pay more, you can buy it fresh at the bakery and the other one, many of the others are frozen. Anyway, with all these directions, I'm not sure I'm getting to Lancaster real soon, but you never know. We just, my nephew and niece just were discussing going, actually. They live in Philadelphia, so it's very close for them. But I don't know. We haven't made any decisions yet about that.
And I'm
not going to go just to get a pot pie, I've got to tell you.
No, that's something that we would do in our younger years, but not just... Not,
right.
Sorry. And it's something that I would do in my
younger years.
Younger years but.
Now that we are in our old years, Bob and I have taken... And we live on Prospect Park, which is a magnificent park with a magnificent entry called Grand Army Plaza. And in the middle of the plaza is a 1930s deco style fountain with a Neptune and a male nude and a female nude and I don't know, a lot of things going on in there. But it's a very restful place to sit. So we're sitting in this very restful place, and I've discovered now that people who go to this really trendy bakery called Radio Bakery, which is only a few blocks away, they're finding this park as a place to alight and eat their goodies. So the first day that we sat in the park, there were two women sitting next to us, one eating three different kinds of croissant, which, by the way, she had to note cost her $25 for three croissants. But one of them was chocolate, one of them was regular, and one of them was, I think, I don't remember. And the other woman had what she claimed was, and I could trusted her because we talked a lot. She said it was a really good caprese sandwich on really good focaccia that they make at this bakery. The next day, there's a young couple eating pastries, and I look over. I said, "Radio Bakery?" And they said, "Oh yeah, it was only a 15-minute line today," meaning. Normally, apparently, you could wait an hour to get a croissant that costs $8. So, I don't know. You wonder where the young people get the money. That's what I mainly wonder. So, sitting in the park, I visually ate a lot of pastry from Radio Bakery. I did have a food adventure this week. I don't know what the story is up in the northwest corner, but we have one, and soon to be more, outlets of this German supermarket called Aldi. Do you know about Aldi?
Yes.
They're advertising like crazy on TV here as being the least expensive market in the country or in the world, who knows. Anyway, I went. There's only one, as I said, and it's at the other end of the borough. It's in Sheepshead Bay. And as I expected, by the way, because it's in a very Russian-speaking neighborhood, it was hard to find any, Well, first of all, it was hard to find any personnel in the store, period, because it's not that kind of store. And then when you found them, they probably did not speak English. They only spoke Russian. So, and they didn't have the Russian products that I thought I might, or Central Asian products that I thought I might find. It's one of these places that it just looks so sloppy and so disorganized. There are no shelves. There are just bins and lots of boxes with produce in it. The produce looked okay. It wasn't that cheap. The meat, I had a laugh about this. I looked at the meat. There was nothing special about the meat, and including none of the cuts that I expected to find, like lamb breast, which is very big in Central Asia. Anyway, I get to the cash register, and the lady in front of me was totally shocked. By the way, in Russian with the cashier, but I could still tell she was shocked at the price of the meat that she was buying, that it was so much more expensive than she thought it was. And she was returning it. She said, I don't want to take this. It's too much. $17 for something. I don't know what. Anyway, so the prices were not all that cheap. The store was very difficult to shop because it was, it seemed to me, totally disorganized. And you know it can't be a very good store if I only ended up spending $24. I mean, me in a supermarket, $24? I don't think so. Anyway, I did buy two things that I can't find in my normal supermarket. And they were a German brand of butter cookies with chocolate on top. You know those Lou cookies? I mean,
which are in our market in Sharon. Yes.
That Lou is a normal supermarket item, and they're really good sometimes. I like them. And so I bought those, and they were really good, and I must say they were probably a dollar or so cheaper than the Lou I buy in my regular supermarket. And the other one is a hard-to-find item. Sometimes I do see these in the supermarket, but it's a Belgian spice cookie called Spekulus. I learned about Spekulus many, many years ago, like 40 years ago, in Belgium. I became addicted in Belgium, and then I came home to find that you could get them here. You could get a Belgian brand here. I haven't seen them in a while. Then again, I haven't looked for them in a while. But there they were at Aldi, and I don't know, they were only like $3 a package. So what did I have to lose? Well, $3. And, you know, so that was a disappointing experience, I have to say. We have a location in my neighborhood in Park Slope.
Can I ask, do you ever shop at Trader Joe's?
I don't like that. No, I don't. I rarely do.
Okay.
But my next-door neighbor, Ellen, does. And every once in a while, I get something from Trader Joe's that she gets for me. This way I don't have to walk in the store. But, you know, I don't like their meat or produce, and that's my first thing when I go to a market. I want to see what the fresh food is.
Because
like.
Trader Joe's, there are two branches of Aldi, and Trader Joe's is one of them.
Say that again?
The Aldi family is there's a north and a south, and one of them owns Trader Joe's, and one of them has.
I only didn't know that Aldi was a family.
Huh?
I didn't know that the Aldi were a family. Let me just say, I had to go because it's my job, I think. But it was annoying me with an unbelievable amount of commercials on local TV here. And then I look it up, and there's only one store, and it's a half an hour away from me. So it was an adventure. But it gave me an opportunity. It set me up for going to one of my nostalgic favorites, Brennan and Carr. Did you ever hear of Brennan and Carr? Brennan and Carr is a roast beef sandwich and hamburger place on Nostrand Avenue and Avenue U, which is very, very a short bike ride from my house where I grew up. And when I was growing up, we all went to Brennan and Carr because it had this sensational roast beef sandwich dipped into the broth. It was more like drippings from the meat. It wasn't really broth. And this was all done on a spit outside the restaurant. So, I mean, you waited online to get your sandwich, or you didn't wait online to get your sandwich. And there it was. There was the meat actually rotating on a spit and the drippings underneath it, and it was really good. At least in my memory, it was really, really good. Nowadays, I go because besides that, the waiters there have been there for 40 years, and that's very good feeling of security. But they have a parking lot, so I can drive there and park, and not a problem. And then we have their mediocre roast beef sandwich dipped into broth, which makes it much better. For some reason, the other day, it needed way too much salt to make it tasty. What they really have that is excellent is chowder. They have both excellent Manhattan and New England clam chowder. So not a bad lunch, you know. Mediocre roast beef sandwich, but the meat is extremely tender, and a cup of really good chowder. You can order fries, too, but I don't recommend it. And they have something we laugh about. It's called the Gargiulio's Burke, the Gargiulio's Special, I guess. And Gargiulio's is an Italian restaurant in Coney Island. It's been there forever, at least since my boyhood. It's grown over the years. They do a lot of catering there, so it's a marble hall with Italian-American food. Anyway, the Gargiulo is the roast beef on a bun with a hamburger and some other goop, I don't know, something, maybe cheese. I think maybe there's cheese on it, too. It's a cheeseburger on a roast beef sandwich. Not my thing. Not at all. But it is a thing, because if you watch food TV, you will see that there's disgusting food like that made all over America. Did I say disgusting food?
I have one other quick... Going back to berries for a second.
Oh, yeah, please.
Do you ever make fool?
I do. It's funny you should mention. I mean, to me, fool is just a fruit puree folded into whipped cream. Is that what it is to you?
Yes. I love it.
I love it myself. Yeah, so by the way, if you just macerate some those berries, mash them up a little bit with a potato masher or the bottom of a glass, and then fold that coarsely crushed fruit into whipped cream. I sweeten the whipped cream a little bit with powdered sugar. It gives it a little stability, too. But you don't have to. It's enough to have some sugar on the berries. That is good. And by the way, I forgot to mention when I was talking about summer pudding, if you don't like the bread, Jill, which I know you don't, and you can't even imagine liking it, you can use pound cake. You can just buy yourself a nice, you know, butter pound cake, slice it thin, line a pan with it, pour some berry juice on it, put the and just the same. Make a layer of berries and then another layer of cake. It's very good. And that, of course, you can serve with whipped cream or vanilla ice cream. I'm getting fat
I'm getting hungry. But it's summertime.
It's summertime, so I have a limited appetite, which is a good thing.
The air conditioning, and you can...
Well, we have air conditioning, but, you know, yeah, of course, it helps. It is summer, so it's hard to complain. The weather is supposed to be like this today. and at least we don't have rain like Texas.
Well, we're going to take summer, and we're going to run with it, because...
And there must be lots of berries around now.
Yep, it's berry time.
And you know, go pick berries and go home and macerate them and then make a pudding.
Good advice. So...
All right, my dears, try to keep cool this week. It's going
to
be a hot one.
And you, and love to Bob, and we thank you very much. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robinhood Radio.